you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Witch Police Radio, and I am your guest host, Stiff Wiggle. It's a pleasure to be filling in for Sam this time as we take another tour around the Manitoba music scene and highlight the best and the brightest and bring them to you. Today I have the wonderfully, whimsically nihilistic Empaths in Retrograde to talk about their upcoming new record. I believe it's still called The Great. Is that right? Yeah.
Ooh, still called The Great.
All right. And it should be hitting your virtual shelves on February 28th. I have all four members of the Empaths here with me today, which is quite the treat and should make for quite the chaotic interview. Hello, folks. How are you all doing?
Really good. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, it's
really good. Yeah.
Could be worse. Oh, heck. You know, we'll save that for when you interview me, when you're guest hosting. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But so, let's start with just the real pedestrian stuff. Please, I would like all four of you to introduce yourselves. Tell me what your role is within the group. We've already bucked the tradition of the show because I've spilled the beans and announced the name of your group. Usually, you would be entrusted with that grand reveal. But frankly, I know you folks well enough that you couldn't necessarily get through.
Let
that
it slide, buddy.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. You forget it all the time.
Anyways, let's take it. Let's start from the left. And please tell me your names and your roles.
Your left or ours?
My left. Let's start with Duke Fella.
Duke Fella.
Duke Fella. The fuck, man. I am the ampersand. My role in the band is to play bass and produce and record. An engineer and master.
Yeah, he's our master.
I am the master.
Y'all's the keys. There you go.
Yeah.
Next.
I'm Snarky Remarkable. I write some of the songs and play the acoustic guitar and sing. Yeah.
That's good.
He's got the beautiful pipes.
And the beautiful pipes.
Yeah. I'm Ryan Whiskey. I play lead guitar and I do some songwriting, a little bit of producing, and the good looking one in the band.
He's the looks.
He's the looks. Yeah.
I'm Kurt Akush. I play drums.
Well, it's a pleasure to be finally firmly acquainted with all of you. And how did the band meet? While we're carrying on with the most basic formulaic questions that are imaginable, let's talk a little bit about how this group assembled. I mean, every Winnipeg band has got a story where person X started in such a band and person Y started in such a band. But so be still in those Mad Libs for me.
All right. Well, me and the ampersand here, we met at park alleys and we'd end up spending a lot of time smoking outside. And I just started noticing that he was cooler and cooler and cooler every day. And then he showed me some of his music. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You're good at this production thing. So we decided to start a band and we got our good buddy Ryan involved on the guitar because like best friends play is the best way to do things. So we're all just a bunch of best friends and Ryan joined the band and then we went through many, many bass players and keyboard players over the years. And then finally, we've got my good buddy Kurt Akush over here. And he's playing drums. It looks like it's going to stick finally.
Yeah, we might actually have our set
So how many years, how long has the fumbling for the proper lineup been going on? When did the first seeds of 8 months. 8 months. Yeah. Okay. So not a couple years, but an 8. Okay.
No, we're not that experienced. No.
Okay.
So, all right. Tried to make a little bit more established, but.
Well, you know, it's this was your opportunity to establish a grand mythology and, you know, spread all sorts of, you know, falsehoods. Right. But, well, we may as well
I should have gone folklore.
Yeah.
That's okay. There are other podcasts out there.
Elves and dragons and different kinds of...
Yeah, you haven't talked about the folklore at all.
What happened?
We didn't have a
bidding on that.
Well, it...
temple in Kurdistan.
Yeah, I was in a temple in Kurdistan. Trying to get out of a...
Smoking some Kurdistan.
Trying to deal with the Winnipeg music scene. I just wanted to destroy it all by making the last great record. The music that people heard and were like, you know what? I don't have to make music anymore because it is finished.
When was the last time Winnipeg had a great record, right? You know?
When's the last time the world had a great record? The great record? We've made the great record.
Even better than the Tortured Poets Department?
Yes. Even better than the Tortured Poets Department.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Setting the bar firmly in the middle there. Okay. All right. So, I was fortunate enough to hear a few of the cuts off of your upcoming record. And I couldn't help but notice that there were a bunch of instruments and other flourishes that didn't come up in your brief description of who is responsible for what. And why don't you shed a bit of light on how that happened? Because I mean, that's probably an interesting story.
It is interesting.
Yeah. Which parts?
Like the horns and stuff. There were horns, right?
The horns.
Oh yeah. Actually, the same. Yeah. So the horns. The trombone players. So there's trombone and trumpet in there for two of the songs I send you, I believe.
Yeah, Mr. Jordy Ouellette.
Jordy Ouellette.
Jordy Ouellette and. Betty Mountain from Apollo Sons.
Yeah, and he's in our band, my other band.
Right. Say Whiskey.
Yeah, and he's in my band.
He's believed that if we're going to make the music that ends everything, we need it to be more of a community thing.
Yeah.
Because so we got, you know, we found our wonderful people that we love.
They're calling in all the favors.
Called in every favor.
Every favor, right?
Yeah, we managed to make it happen. It's good to be friends.
That's the way to do it. And, you know, I think while we're on that topic, why don't we just, you know, connect the dots and describe a little bit about our musical connections as far as they extend to other groups in town, because we know they're there. So let's have them. You know, the Ampersand, are you performing or have you performed with any other groups of note or released anything that anyone would have heard of? Or has it been skulking around the open mics and just keeping it on the down low?
Yeah, I just keep it on the down low, the open mics, hang out and just enjoy the simplest form of music, open mics.
Right on. Snarky, what else are you up to?
I mean, nowadays, I mostly just have this and the Full Benefits.
Of course.
With this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ryan.
And, yeah. And I'm getting some odd comedy show, which, you know, yeah.
Seems appropriate, yeah.
Other than that, that's all I've been doing.
Cool. Ryan?
I got the Full Benefits going with my partner, Snarky, over here. And I'm playing guitar in Empath. And... I'm playing guitar in a band called the No Homely Experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Curtis as well. Curtis is in that band as well. And then I got my solo stuff, Ryan Whiskey, as well, which Curtis is also drumming in.
Right on.
Yeah.
Kurtikush, what's keeping you busy?
This band, No Homely, Ryan Whiskey.
Me?
It's all kind of the same.
It all blows together, right? Yeah. Yeah, and so this was a question. So, Snarky, you're writing songs for a bunch of different projects and stuff. How does that pan out? Do you have an idea before the first chorus comes around whether or not this is going to be an Empath track, or is it just a matter of, you know,
usually, like, the Benefits like all my funnier stuff, so if it has a sense of humor, I know to keep away from the Ampersand, because he hates that.
I hate humor.
He is the most humorless human being on the planet. So as soon as it gets a little funny, I know, okay, I'm going to try to give this to the Benefits.
I just detest the sounds of joy and happiness.
Okay.
I did that still.
So this leads into the next question I was going to ask. Of the two, there are two primary songwriters in the group. Is that how this shakes out? Or do
it's
three?
Mostly three? Me, and then we get songs from other members.
Got it. Yeah. So we got this sort of gang. This Beatles-esque hierarchy where you got the two people, the two primos, and who are doing the lion's share of the work. And then every so often, George will kick one in, and every so often.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So who is Paul then, and who is John? That's the next question.
I hope I'm John.
You're Paul.
I'm definitely Paul.
You're definitely. Yeah,
that's awesome. John for sure is Hans for sure.
Okay. Paul, I call you a girl.
You're George. You're okay.
She's a baby.
And you have been the reason why every band member has left.
Yeah, I am the reason every band member has left. So.
You heard it here first, folks. All right. So then. You are, if I may, observe sort of on a, very superficial level, you are four, cis white dudes. And that's something that's not especially, unique in Winnipeg or elsewhere. But presumably the reason why you feel the need to get up on stage and speak your truth is that you have something to say or something. So but why don't you tell me a little bit more about what it is that justifies your sort of existence? What is the reason why you exist as a musical entity?
We write music for the horrifically uncool. We speak to the depressed and the sad out there. We are a mirror of the pointlessness and boring nature of existence. We've been to the dark spaces and we don't shine a light. We acknowledge it and let everyone know that it exists. There's no light side, but, we've been there and we've brought it back and,
It always smells.
It always smells. Yes.
We like having fun, too.
We like having fun with it. We try to make the horrendous banality of everything fun and accessible so that the cool kids can feel what it's like to be horrendously sad.
Oh, just different. It's kind of a matter. Smushing PCP, I fucked my mind on DMT. We threw it again happily. I took a tab of LSD, I changed it down with DMT. Heroin, I might not be, but I got my other fun. Although they smell pleasantly, they didn't get me high.
As a person who's had the misfortune of being involved in making a record before, I know that it, at the various points of the process, it's fun. And then at various points of the process, it's life draining. So is that something that you folks experienced over the course of the last album recording and rollout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Had some ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was always that point in the record.
Right. When? How long ago was that? And how did you, what was the sort of, where did things come to a head? Let's get into the nitty gritty here.
I think it started, the schism started slowly happening probably 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I think, and then close to the timeline.
I was getting really tired.
Yeah, this guy was burning out.
Yeah, we had done so much and like, it was just kind of like, we got all the initial work done, all the creative stuff done. Now it's like, okay, now this actually has to sound like something. We're done right. Doing the fun part. Now it's like, now it's got to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're recording this interview in a place that's hitted out for recording. So I presume that this is a home studio and this is the place where the magic happens, right? Now, is that, I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere between a matter of necessity and a matter of preference for working in that sort of manner. But have you folks ever done a studio session, like in the like an actual studio session, and worked in that environment? I myself haven't. I've always had to do the
once when I was like 14.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the ability of just being able to just get in there and do your thing, or would you rather be able to, you know, micromanage every last element of the recording?
For me, it's not really about micromanaging. It's just, I don't know, there's different mediums of art. Like some people use oil paints instead of acrylic. Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly great at any instrument, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just like the different forms of art when it comes to music.
I hear that. Yeah. It's the studio is a real sort of opportunity to let songs sort of, you know, develop and become their own thing independent of, any sort of other environment. It really sounds like these songs, you know, are there's a sort of a depth to them and like a, you know, just a complexity that suggests that maybe, you know, some of the ideas came about by just layering things on top of one another in the recordings, you know, just going like, oh, you know what would sound good here if we added a few extra backup vocals. Does the recording sound sort of not maximal, but they sound, you know, full in a way that is like, could it sound complete, right? You know, the songs sound done. And how much wrangling did it take to get them to done? Were they, because these aren't demos, right? And yeah, one of the sort of hallmarks of a home recorded record is that they have this, you know, sort of demo-ish. We got tired about 80% of the way through, and you get what you get, sort of vibe. So, what was the process like of taking these songs from an early form? The sort of thing you might play at the open mic at the park alleys and then make them into this sort of, you know, fully realized piece of music. Give me a little bit of insight into how that happened.
Well, we started out, brought the songs in, and we sort of started out as a jam it out, get the songs sounding. We got it. We had our first run went nice because we were jamming it together as a band, and it was sounding very, very bandy and very good. But we fleshed them out, and we got tight as a band and recorded it as a tight band. And that worked for quite a while, and we got there. And then we slowly, we got there. And then we hit our first little bit of a snag where it was just like we lost our keyboard guy. And we hit our first little snag, and we were like, there was a moment of, what are we going to do now? And then one day we left a scratch track just on the computer there. And then we got our first real, the monkey song, the cigarette song. We got that one. This guy made a little thing without anybody's involvement, really. They built a song around a scratch track.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, this is a direction we can go now that we lost this guy. And that sort of, we started to whittle and it picked it up a bit. And that was good. And that helped us get some momentum some of the way further down. Tell me if I'm telling lies.
No,
that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
And then later on, we got then we sort of had these nine songs. We got to about nine songs that were like, okay, we're pretty much done. But then we're like, well, now we got to do the tightening and making it sound something, dealing with the little things that having to redo guitar tracks, having to redo vocal tracks, having to do all these things where it was just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's so tedious and stuff. And then luckily another song was kind of stuck on. I had another song that I had tried years ago that didn't fit. And was like, here, man, make this Billie Eilish track. And then he did the opposite and told me that he did not make a Billie Eilish track. He did not listen to what I said. But like at that point, we were at a very low point. We were just sometimes making a jam a week, never making extra time for recording and stuff. Then this guy made the thing again without all of his stuff. And that song, you know, these are songs becoming, then we managed to jam it out. And it was like, it just felt so good.
Don't mess with the system.
Yeah. Yeah. And after getting that jam so good and realizing that it's like, okay, we were able to accept that, you know what, we're at the finish line now. And we were able to push it. And then, you know, this guy had a dream of recording horns. He always wanted to do it, never got to.
Yeah.
So we did what we had to do to make that dream come true.
Yeah. And I really had first time recording brass instruments. It was fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of adapting and adjusting and everybody stepping up at a certain time to make everything sort of just to get us over the hump and get us there.
Taking pictures of myself, but I can't find the right filter, and I'm frustrated about it. My smile feels more like a grin. I'm so afraid of missing out, I'll end up staying in, scrolling through the streamers, trying to find something to watch. But for long, it's 2 a.m. and I gotta turn it off and go to bed. Another day. Monkey fucking cigarettes, a deconstructed alphabet. I live my life with no regrets, but I dwell. And I swear to God, but I don't know if that's enough. I swear to God, but I don't know if that's finish, and now I'm back where I began, thinking about myself again and what I gotta do to get my shit together and barely make it through another day. Constructed out.
It's remarkable to have something that has as much going on without feeling sort of overstuffed or feeling like it's obligatory, and to know the sort of story behind that it makes me want to congratulate you, because you know it didn't sound like the horns were shoved in there, which it would be my if I had a bee in my bonnet, like I need this song to have a bassoon. That bassoon would be sticking out like a sore thumb, you know? And so, but it blended right in, and it's good stuff.
You don't have the right guy.
Oh, yeah, they just had the right person. All right, yeah, so good. It came in and, like, for one of the tracks, I'm just like, make it sound like a lumbering elephant for these parts, and then during this part, make it sound like two old men having a senile argument about nothing.
Okay, so... They came up with their own charts or their own lines or whatever.
Yeah.
These guys play by ear too.
Yeah, they just played by, like, they hopped in and like the trumpet was like, yeah. Yeah, Jordy was just like, yeah, I've got a part that I'm doing for this. And then Benny jumped in. And he's like, sweet, I can do something with that. But yeah, they were
that's studio magic.
Yeah, they were some of the easiest musicians I've worked with.
Fortunate for the rest of the record, he had to work with the artist musicians. Is that really cool?
Well, I mean, the ups and downs are...
What do you mean?
I had a diva. Curtis was such a diva, this whole record.
Curtis, the word on the street is that you are the with a quote-unquote hardest musician in town. What do you have to say about that?
I agree.
Okay. All right. Let the rumor stand.
I can okay. Know.
So this is the first Empaths full length release.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So these songs must represent like an entire lifetime's worth of creative development. Is that the case?
Yeah. These songs have been built over the years. Some of them are
new.
Yeah. We wrote a couple new songs as a band. There's some songs that I've been trying to figure out for like 10 years that never worked.
Yeah.
And then we took some of my favorite songs from my old past, and yeah wrote a song over campfire.
That's right. It was actually in New Orleans. Like, she comes to the city, drugstore, drugs are fun, we're all new ones.
Yeah,
all from the summer.
Chase the Dream.
Chase the dream was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
So I can't help but feel like there's like this sort of overarching theme, which is this sort of bleak, you know, like I think I used the word nihilistic earlier on in my introduction. This kind of, and it seems rather timely here in 2025. Do you think that you've just sort of peaked at the time where the world is most ready for you folks, or are you just sort of shameless friend chasers who are just arriving at this vibe because it's super hot right now?
The world is definitely
yes, because this is all by accident, right? The sound that's
depressed before. I've been depressed before. I was cool. I've been depressed before. They had a name for it,
for sure. They called it just being sad.
Yeah. And when it wasn't cool,
when the country kids were like, we think you have a learning disability, we don't know what it is, so we're gonna go see a doctor. That's my childhood.
I want those to be the lyrics of a country song. I was soon when you said country kids. You know,
it's common.
Yeah. Well, I have to make it.
Well, it's good. So there's has the songwriting slowed down now that you, the first one's in the bag and you're just sort of resting on your laurels and playing the hits? Or
no,
no,
we are starting to work on, like, this one we made a tight 10 song thing, and we are currently working on a, like, I'm hoping for 30, a 30 track double album of wildness. Whether we get to that number remains specific.
I don't think we'll have 30 tracks, but we'll have a few.
Now that this album's done,
I'm planning to do a 69 love song.
It sparked a whole new, like, inspiration for writing. Like, we were caught in a lull for a bit, but now this one's done. We'll pull in songs out of everywhere. Like,
yeah,
new ones, old ones we're bringing back, bangers. Like,
yeah. Stuff that didn't fit the theme of the great.
Right.
Because, like, it's a very tight concept record.
Well, tell me more about that then. You can't drop a bomb like that without you've done it in for yourself this time, Snarky. Let's hear about the concept of the record.
Here we go. So it's the artist. It is the artist's journey through. Another dream. It's not the dream of making art, but it's the dream of doing drugs all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with the opening salvo of Drugs Are Fun. I mean, that's my motto this year.
The festival circuit.
And of course, I grew up in the country. So in order for me to do all the drugs, I had to come to the city. So that takes us to song two. And then when I moved out here, man, friends of all of us, I was not welcome.
He's going for it, folks.
The sister, you know.
Still have it not.
I'm still. So I've had to deal with the scene that was like, well, I internalize quite a bit, but they're like, you're not welcome. You know, we don't like you. You suck. Probably because I sucked. I remember, you remember me 13 years ago.
You may have sucked back then.
I probably sucked.
You've come a long way, baby.
I've come a long way. And then, like, you know, and that led me to, I had a mental breakdown in 2015 and found myself like having opinions that I'm a little bit ashamed of nowadays. And then, like, I eventually had a, you know, then I spent a lot of nights monkey jumping cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, ended up on the streets busking for change, you know, dreaming of making it, having to realize that I can't. And even if I wanted to, you know, I'd get it. The dream is not for me. You know, reality steps in. And
we're up to track 9 now, or what?
And then you shift, you realize, you know, you get near your dream and you're like, oh, you end up unsatisfied with the dream you get. And then you find out that you have to go and, in this case, get a job at a drugstore and find something that's like dream adjacent. Like, you know, we wanted to do all the drugs, but now we end up selling all the drugs. And you just got to kind of smile and, you know, be happy with what you got. And that's the whole. And it's a whole journey of life. It's a journey of the artist. It's a journey of the hero.
That was smooth.
It's everything. And
who is the best I've ever heard you tell that story?
It's nothing all at once. I mean, you never heard it. So that's the concept of it. And it's tight, incisive. Concise reality. I don't know words anymore.
Easter, all my words. All my words. All I had to do is compliment you once, and then you.
Yeah,
you should have.
Or
did ever compliment me?
You piece of shit.
Thank you.
That was a remarkable bit of bullshitting, I have to say.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
I'm really good at it.
Well, it comes in handy when you're stuck in an interview and you get a weird question and you don't know how to handle it. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about the record specifically. It's called The Great, and as we've discussed, it's a concept, non-concept album, depending on who you talk to in the band or whose face you're looking at when Snarky is, you know, spinning the yarn. But people can hear it. There's got to be a show. Tell me all. This is the promo. This is where we're talking about. This is your time to shine, boys.
All right. So the record comes out February
27th.
We're giving you a day of listening to it because
one day.
Because on the 28th we're having our release party.
28th.
With Wonder and Rough Sundays.
Wonder and Rough Sundays.
At the Osborne Tap House.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So Shun's gonna start at 9:30.
And we want everyone who's there to be able to sing all the words.
Yeah.
said, I don't have to listen to you flawlessly. We need it. So, like, we're releasing the album a day ahead of time. So you have a day to listen to it between 7 and 10 times from front to back, because we're doing a whole show in front to back of the record. That's going to be the thing. So learn the songs. And so the album's coming out on the 27th, so you can learn it. So you can sing it at the show at the 28th at the Osmond Tapas.
Mm.
What else?
I think, well, that's the essential parts. It's going to be on all of this, your YouTubes and your...
It's going to be everywhere. Okay.
Everywhere. If you listen to music online...
Should we do it with the only national tour, or should we keep that a secret right now?
I'll keep this.
If you want to talk about the international tour, I can tell you talk about the concept is a little difficult.
A great way to keep an international tour secret is to mention it live on a podcast, right? So, good job.
Look at keeping your ears open.
Yeah, well, you may have just manifested it into existence, if nothing else.
That's right? A hope.
We all know the secret.
Just like we manifest the concept.
It's
all about manifestation. It's about keeping your energies, you're balancing your chakras. And,
we are the empath.
I keep a crystal on me.
That's right.
Yo, we're retrograde.
That is not a thing. It's are not a noun.
No.
This guy.
Yeah.
Hey, it's referring to those in retrograde. Got it?
So,
we didn't say welcome.
We didn't say welcome
at the all. Oh, man.
So we just say, instead of saying hello, we say welcome now.
Okay. There's a good reason for this.
Yeah, because you're welcoming people into their our presence.
Yeah, like saying hi to somebody is the equivalent to saying,
no,
I don't want to talk.
Hello. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Okay. So, Tell them about the next one.
But welcome is saying welcome to my presence. And that allows the other person to feel welcome where they are.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. And then we get an hour of saying welcome.
Okay. Yeah. And what about the next one?
Which one? I love you for that.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
I love that for you.
We like to dismiss our friends.
The most condescending fucking thing that I ever say.
This poor guy had some great news on the day that we were going and deciding this, and we were rolling, and this poor guy comes with this great stuff. He's like, we were mentioned on this thing, and we're like, oh, I love that for you, and like, it's great news that we should be stoked about, and we were
obviously, yeah, we were. No, I know,
but we're just like, I love that for you, just like being the worst, and this is what he has to put up with, this poor little angel. We get into our little bubbles here, and
well, I can't say I'm especially close to any four of you, but I would expect nothing
should
less,
be.
To be honest.
Why aren't you?
Why aren't I? Because I am just the host, and you are just the band, and we have this invisible wall between us. But
I hate the wall.
Let's let the wall break down on February 28th at Osborne Tap House with Wonder and the Rough Sundays. Is that I got it. All right. Yeah, and you can check out the Empath's record, The Great, on February 27th, wherever it is that you decide to listen to music. And this has been another fantastic episode of Witch Police. I just wanted to quickly, before we sign off, I wanted to say thanks so much to Sam Thompson for all the hard work he does on this show, supporting the best and brightest in Manitoba music. It's a tireless, thankless effort that he invests, and I'm just pleased as punch that I get a chance to lighten the load a little bit here. As he trudges towards the 1,000 episode mark, hopefully there's a big exciting bash, but even if it's just Sam sleeping soundly for 45 minutes, I think
that'd be great.
I'm lost. Awesome. It sounds peaceful.
That's like the Andy Warhol movie.
He's been floating, he's been inviting recommendations for what to do. And I think, just taking a well-deserved snooze might be the way to go. Sam, if you're listening, which you certainly are, keep it in mind. All right, well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and tune in next time for another episode of Witch Police Radio.
Maybe it's a puppet who are pulling the strings. Don't look behind the curtain. You don't want to know how the sausage gets made or how the game is played. Happiness is virtuous. A path to bliss. It is what it is, because it's always been this way.
system that made you, the system that made you. I know you're pissed off, baby, you're pissed off, baby, too. I'm chill as fuck, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. Do we really want, what we really want? Hey! The less you know, the less you need, the better off for everybody. You are either in, or you're in the way.
You should probably just let it be.
Don't fuck with the system.
Don't fuck with the system.